This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 121. All wow and no play make Panda a dull girl.
No, it doesn't.
This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to yet another episode of the ESH podcast.
Hey, hey, hey.
How's doing?
I'm doing good.
That's good. I'm glad to hear your voice. I enjoy our time together each week.
Me too.
Yeah. It's very cathartic.
Oh, I feel like I'm going to sneeze.
I feel like you're going to sneeze too, especially with all the sniffling that you're making into your mouth.
I know.
Why don't I take care of some business and you can take care of your nose?
Okay.
You should keep visiting us on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address bounces you to the long one. You can check out any articles that we've written within the week, and you can comment on them thusly. If you just want to talk to us directly, there's a hit us up link, and you can email us. If you're not listening to us on iTunes, you could check us out there firstly, because we are there. You can put us into any RSS reader, or plug us into pretty much any podcast search engine imaginable. On top of that, if you want to be one of the cool kids, you can check us out on the All Games Network.
That's right, the Electric Sisterhood podcast airs on the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com, Monday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific time-ish. Sometimes some shows run over, because, you know, there's a lot of shows on the network, like Super Happy Fun Time Show,
That Pixel Live,
Ultimate Quest,
Evil Avatar,
Chatterbox,
The Bobby Blackwolf Show.
I mean, there's a ridiculous amount of
insane amount of shows.
And just funny people like us. So if you like what we do, you're really going to love the other stuff you can check out over there. So definitely give them a listen. There's that sneeze.
They come in threes.
You bless you again. Come on.
One more time.
You got one more. Come on. Let's do the hat trick. Here we go. And it's a hat trick, people. Now, if you do another one, you gotta start another two after it. Oh, here we go. Let's see. Two more. Come on, Panda. Come on. Sneeze on command. Sneeze.
I can't do it.
Sneeze, damn you. Sneeze.
Okay, it stopped. I'm sorry. Oh. Mother.
Man, if you've done a double hat trick, what's that called? A turkey?
No,
it's a double. And then you do a turkey. Yeah, all right, come on, sneeze. One more and we're balanced. And I'm inattentive, so you know I need it.
I know.
It's really going to drive me nuts unless you do it.
I can't do it.
You can. Just concentrate on ragweed in your nose. Feel the tickle in your nostril. Boy, I could have gone so many different places with that. Ooh, that would have been horrible. Huh? Oh, yes! Mind over matter. I can make you sneeze.
Aw, damn.
That's the power that I have.
That sucked.
So, as we are gearing up for holiday, pick a holiday, whatever holiday that you celebrate.
Hanukkah!
Okay, that's a holiday. You can absolutely
celebrate
that.
Happy Scientologist Day!
You could do that too, absolutely.
The aliens are coming! They're already here.
They're coming back!
Give me those metal rods to hold in my hands really fast.
But, as we're getting close to my favorite holiday, shop until you drop them us.
If you have the money-us.
Oh, no, you don't have to have the money-us. You just have to have the plastique.
Yeah, and now they brought layaway back.
Layaway, motherfucker, yeah. What's up with that? I got $5 on that game, son. $5.
Yeah.
I put five on it.
Like, you want a PS3? Put that shit on. Lay away.
Lay
five
away.
Bucks.
Lay
there
away.
Go.
Let me tell you what.
Oh, I feel another set coming on. I'm holding it. I'm holding it. Woo.
Hold it back, kid. We got work to do.
I know. I'm trying.
I want to tell you that there's no shame in layaway. Layaway is smart. I'm going to go in and I'm going to put this shit aside and I'm going to put a couple dollars on it. Because right now I'm broke as hell and all I got is a couple dollars to put on it. But I'm going to keep coming back.
I got five on it.
I was trying not to sing that song because that song is not exactly what we're talking about
$5.
Here. But
$5.
There is no shame in layaway.
No.
For a long time, there was a stigma about layaway that you had to be a poor motherfucker to use it.
Well.
But you don't have to be poor to utilize, I should say, make use of, layaway. Be smart about this, people. Earmark stuff. I kind of look at layaway like peeing on stuff and basically marking your territory.
Like, that's mine. That's mine.
That's mine.
That's mine.
That's mine, too. And that's mine, too. Whether you come back and claim it or not. If you don't, you're only out a couple of bucks, and you've kept other people from getting that shit.
That's
you
right.
You fucked up their holiday. And really, doesn't that make you feel better?
You are mean. I don't want to fuck up people's
holidays. I'm like a little Grinch. But I like getting stuff.
Yeah.
Where's the difference?
Yeah.
So I got a couple of things I'm going to talk about first, and then I'm going to turn the mic of a thousand truths over to Panda so she can do her thing, and then I'm actually going to talk about my topic, but... there have been some commercials out lately about some devices that I've been looking at, and I gotta tell ya, I kind of...
What?
Peevedish.
You're peeved?
I'm not really happy, so...
You're not happy?
I know, can you imagine that, right? Me, not happy about a gadget? What's going
on
with
that?
Oh my god. I mean, something's
wrong.
Wait,
does it not buzz and throb?
There is an imbalance in the force.
Is it not buzzy or throbby?
No, that's a different device, sweetie. And
yeah, but
completely
asking,
another podcast. No, a lot of phones have been coming out running different operating systems and all kind of having some touchpad, touchscreen type thingies.
Yeah.
And I actually have gotten to take a look at and be hands-on with a couple of them, and I'm not really that impressed.
Uh-huh.
So, like, the first one is the Verizon phone with the touchscreen that's running Google's Android operating system on it. I actually got to play with one a few days ago. Not really all that impressed with it. And I hear that they're having some issues with leaving some bugs in there. Like, you type a word. Oh, I don't know. Let's say a word like reboot.
Right.
Someplace in an application that's not, you know, like on the main screen of the operating system. So let's say I wanted to write an email to tech support for some company about how many times I've had to reboot my computer. Well, typing reboot in the mail application makes the phone reboot itself.
Uh-huh.
Actually, typing the word reboot in any application makes the phone reboot itself.
Ooh, that's a potentially hazardous bug.
That's not really a feature. That's kind of a big bug to have. Because if you're techie enough to want a phone running Android, you're probably geeky enough to have to talk about rebooting something at some point in time. They're working on a fix, they know it's a known issue, blah, blah, blah. But that's not necessarily a good thing. Then for the longest time, you've had RIM pretty much talking about any device that uses a touchscreen for direct input for the device is kind of a bad idea because people have bought into the tactile button things, and that's what they love about BlackBerries is that they have buttons and predictive type. Have you seen the new Storm?
No.
The BlackBerry Storm? It's supposed to take the whole... mobile market by storm.
No.
Yeah, it's a giant touchscreen BlackBerry.
Is it?
It is.
Really?
Yeah, and they still double up the letters on the keys, so you still don't have independent letter keys. They're
right.
Shared lettered keys, but they're digital keys.
Did?
Yeah. Yeah, and I haven't been able to get my hands on one of those, but I'm really wanting to because I want to be able to compare it, one, to the Android-based phones and obviously to Apple's phone, which I think is inspiring a whole lot of cloning. So I'm really interested to actually get my hands on the BlackBerry device, like I said, because I like touchscreen. I like it a lot. I wish that my computers had it because I'm a very visual person. But
just didn't Microsoft make a touchscreen?
There are some tablets that you can get that are running the Microsoft operating system that are touchscreen. You can also get some touchscreens, and you can actually, if you want to either surrender your Mac laptop or purchase a new one from Otherworld Computing, they'll actually do what's called a mod book and actually modify your laptop and turn it into a touchscreen notebook computer for some additional money, obviously. But I really want a built-in technology from the ground up that's solid because I do a lot of the design work for the website, as you well know. And I would love to have a solid touchscreen on my preferred operating system that just really worked.
Mm-hmm.
You can get from Wacom, they make the Cintiq monitor, which is a touchscreen monitor that you can use as a tablet attached to a computer, so you can do things directly in a program like Adobe Photoshop and draw directly on that. But I still want that one piece whole solution that I can just pick up and carry with me, and it's my whole computer that just happens to be touchscreen. I'm a little spoiled that way. I like the tech, and I really would like that to kind of follow suit. So I'm interested to see growing forward how many other cell phone designers and creators and distributors start really focusing on making devices that are fully touchscreen. You know, you've seen some that have some touchscreen features, but you still have to open up and use a keyboard for input. So I'm really interested to see over the next year or so how that market changes. So I'll keep my eye on that.
Right.
That one's one that I'm curious about. And I just thought I'd share and say that I personally, in my opinion, do not enjoy the Android OS at all.
Boo.
Yeah, it gets a big thumbs down.
So with that,
thumbs down. So with that, I'm going to take the mic of 1,000 truths and turn it over to Panna, who I know is just
tickled pink
or something similar to talk about her topic. So
I'm tickled brown because we don't change colors.
Not unless it's really, 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 really embarrassing.
Yeah, and then we turn pink. So I'm not embarrassed.
Kinda. It's like a shade.
I'm excited, and I'll tell you why.
Go ahead, tell
them. Oh, fuck. I don't even have to tell you guys why, because
we all know.
That's right. You guys do. You know what dropped 2 days ago. Well, technically.
And it wasn't a deuce.
4 days. And no, it was not the number two. No. No.
Might as well. Number two over our playing online together.
Well, actually, it probably dropped the same way that the Dow does. Oh!
Ouch.
Just kidding, Wall Street. Just kidding.
No, she's not.
No, I'm not, actually.
Stop dropping.
Anyway.
Plop, plop, motherfucker, plop, plop.
But finally, the ever-anticipated expansion of World of Warcraft
has finally... I wasn't anticipating it.
Well, for those of us who were
okay.
Ninja,
just saying,
it's finally graced us.
Somebody's presence.
It's graced my presence.
Yep.
And the presence of the other 5 million people who play around the world.
I just don't get it.
5 million to one. Who do you think?
Not to one. There's a shitload else of us.
Okay.
We outnumber
you. We snap a giant dance-off. Wowers versus non-wowers and see who wins.
The non-wowers win.
That's not true.
Uh-huh.
You never know. Anyway, getting
because
back to
Because only
my...
you guys can do the dances that your characters do.
Actually, that's not true. I can do all of them. Oh, you didn't find
see,
that, right?
See, here we go. That's really not something to be all... Guess what really... I can do? Yeah, break yourself, fool.
Actually,
I've got wow really... dancing.
It's actually really funny. On Halloween night, I saw a girl dressed up like my druid. Though granted, it was more like her druid because my druid doesn't have any face marks. But she had purple hair and was wearing the exact same gear that my druid was, so I kind of stopped in my tracks. And I looked at her and she looked at me, and I didn't want to go straight over there and be like, oh my god, I'm, you know, that's so awesome.
You're my druid!
Yeah, but, you know, so I waited, and then I kind of walked a little bit, kind of danced, walked a little bit more, and then I was like, hey, what's up? And she's like, nothing. I'm like, you know, I have to ask you. Because at first, you know, sometimes druids can look like priests. I'm like, are you a druid or a priest? And she's like, I'm a druid. I'm like, me too! And you look like my druid! And she's like, really? I'm like, yeah, except for the face marks. She's like, I don't really have face marks. I just wanted to have them for Halloween. I'm like, that is so cool. And her dad is, like, off away from her, because I guess it was, like, one of her first Halloweens, and, like, her dad didn't want her in Salem by herself.
Right.
But he's like, I'll go, but and I'll stay a comfortable distance, but just in case, blah, 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 blah. And we ended up doing the Night Elf dance to Thriller, and, like, five people brought out, like, digital cameras. So I will not be surprised if eventually you guys find Pandalicious doing the Night Elf dance on YouTube.
I hope that it exists. Because
and I'm the white rabbit from Alice in Wonderland. You really can't miss it if it's out there.
Okay.
But anyway, so I mean, the sensation really has been, we've been waiting for it forever, at least since they announced it in at BlizzCon at 2007 that it was going to come out.
Right.
So we've been waiting. There was beta testing in July, obviously. I did not get any beta keys.
If you had gone to PAX, you would have.
I know. But I didn't have them, so I didn't get to see stuff before. So just like everybody else, I had to wait. And I actually had to wait a couple days more because the boyfriend wanted to see how long it would take before I would crack. But he cracked before I did, technically.
Right.
So let me tell you what's really new about this expansion and why people are tripping over themselves and shatting themselves over this expansion.
Please enlighten me, because
you're not
going to
be enlightened, but for those who...
No, I want to be enlightened. I want to get it, because here's the thing. I've tried WoW now on three different occasions.
You never told me of any of them.
Yeah, I did, and...
You never play with me.
Because I was on a different server, you couldn't switch over, you were going to make a new character on that server, but you never did.
You never told me what server it was, I totally would have done
it. Yes, I did, I sent you an email about it, but whatever... I've tried it now on three different occasions, thinking, okay, maybe I didn't give it enough time, maybe I didn't spend enough time on my character, I got in, I started running around trying to do the low-level missions, there's just so much going on screen, so many choices to make, and so much to do on the keyboard, it's so much work, it's not enjoyable for me. So please, if you've got some way to enlighten me and make me see it as not that, I would love to see it as not that.
It's just not meant for everybody, Ninja. I'm not saying that you can't be my sister because you don't play WoW.
Well,
in fact,
duh,
you can be my
it's
sister.
Not like you can undo that.
But I'm just saying, you know, you can have your opinions about it, but don't talk down about it around people that you know play it and enjoy it.
I'm not talking down about it. I'm just saying it's a lot of work.
Let me tell people what the features are.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, in the last expansion in Burning Crusades, they pushed the cap from 60 to 70.
Right.
So, whole brand new content, new zones. So, I mean, the same kind of run-of-the-mill stuff, except now, in Lich King, you know, you get bumped to 80. Which, you know, for those of us who haven't seen the blue bar move in a while, is kind of inspiring within itself.
I have a friend that's already a level 74. I'm just like, dude, please.
Yeah.
Really.
There are already a couple of 80s on my server, but one of them got reported for power leveling, so don't do that, guys. And don't buy gold online. They're waiting for you. Anyway, so...
Popo's in the no-no, you know what I'm saying?
That's right, exactly. For the most part, I'm not really into the lore of World... Because there's a lot. You're not kidding. There is so much lore to this game,
mm-hmm.
even before World of Warcraft, within Warcraft 1, 2, and 3, there's so much going on that unless you played all of those and played all of those a couple of times, you're not going to know everything. I did get a couple of the World of Warcraft mangas from Tokyopop back mm-hmm. then.
Back
and
in
reading
the day.
Those kind of alluded to what some of the lore was, but I still was kind of like, I don't know what the fuck any of this means. I don't know what it's supposed to mean to me. Is that important? No, and then, you know, you log in and you say, guys, is this supposed to be important? And people are like, fuck yes. You know, there are just some people who are attracted to the fantasy and the lore, but I'm not. Okay. But obviously, those who are, if you're following along with it, we finally get to go against Arthas, who is the Lich King, who, you know, with him brings a whole new area. There's a lot more snow.
Snow beasts. Is pretty.
Yes. I mean, if you kind of look at the way the expansions work, if you look at, say, Diablo 2, when you go through Diablo 2 before the expansion, you know, you go through, you kill two of the three brothers, the demon brothers, but one of them escapes to, I can't remember what the place is called now, because it's not Northrend, but anyway, so he escapes there. So the expansion, you pretty much go after the last brother.
Right.
In this area. And it's a snowy area with tougher beasts. So, I mean, they're both made by Blizzard. So, I mean, I can kind of see with the similarities between what they were going to bring with this
expansion. Engine in those maps, mofo.
You know, I get that and I understand that. So, you know, you pretty much, there's snow, you get to level more. They've actually included new factions. Now, outside of the fact that, you know, they've put in another class, some new professions, and everything got bumped up, we've got new factions of walrus people, they're wolverine people, and there are murloc people, and they're these little, like, sub-cousins to taurens, and taurens look like bulls and cows.
Yes. I had a tauren.
See, you never told me you went horde.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, whatever. So, I mean, so all these
things... I tried alliance, and then I tried a...
Druid. Horde is better. I'll admit that now.
Mm-hmm.
but anyway, I mean, I think the big buzz about this expansion was, you know, because we already got the Draenei and Burning Crusades, and everyone was wondering, are we going to get a new race? Are we going to get a new class? And they finally released that we were getting a new class. And they were going to be Death Knights, which are technically Dark Paladins, if you really want to look at it. The only thing about having these Death Knights is you can't just have one right away. You have to have a level 55 character already on the server that you want to make one on, and you can only have one on each server. So, being that on Thrall, which is my main PvE server, I have a level 70. I was able to create a Death Knight. So, for the last 2 days preparing for this, I decided that I would make one. I actually made her Horde, so she's not Alliance. She's not affiliated with any of my friends on the Alliance side. I wanted to see it from a fresher perspective than I'm accustomed to.
Okay.
Because I knew as soon as I logged in, if I had one and I told my guild, they'd be like, oh, let's go do all these runs. No, I wanted to take it from a pure perspective. Hey, I'm going to do this by myself. I'm going to check this out, see if I would like it. And whatever. So I made her. She's really awesome. She's a blood elf. They kind of dance like Haru Suzumiya, if you know who she is.
Yeah, I haven't got the melancholy. I keep being promised that I'm going to get it.
I don't have it.
You said you knew somebody that was. They were going to hook you
magic
up.
Has,
such that you
magic has it.
Up and...
Magic has it.
Yeah.
But, anyway.
But magic's in another dimension right now. You know that she's doing that training.
Well, I'm just saying she has it. But, you know, and pretty much when you start out as a Death Knight, you're working for Arthas. You're working for the Lich King. And he pretty much makes you ransack this entire, like, newbie Alliance human town. Like, you fuck it up. You fuck it up, you fuck it down, you fuck it to the left. And you fuck it inside out. And then you put it all back, and then you blow it up.
That's a lot of fucking. Just
that's a lot of fucking.
Okay.
You know, and because when you start out in this area, you're level 55, and you pretty much don't leave it to hit the regular map until you're pretty much, I think you level up to about 58. Because my character is now level 60, and it took me less than 2 days to get her there. But, and while you're doing that, they're teaching you how Death Knights work, what they're going to do. You know, and then all the dark, you know, Death Knights are like, hey, Arthas, you really kind of suck. We don't want to work underneath you anymore. We're going to make our own faction, and we're going to, you know, so it's kind of like, fuck you. We're coming after you. Not that, you know, this guy's like a pushover. Like, this guy, you know, he's not a pushover at all. And and then the leveling begins. Yes, there is a grind. It is meant to be a grind. You're paying for a grind.
Leveling is always a grind.
Yes.
In so any game that you get to do that with.
So you just got to get over it. Like, as soon as you log in, you have to realize, okay, I've got 10 levels. And these 10 levels are going to be harder than the 70 levels that I procured before now. So shut up. Grab a rock star. Grab some marshmallows. Maybe some aspirin. After a while, your headphones are going to hurt your ears. Don't forget, if you have a problem with the bathroom, there are catheters. You can get catheters. You put it. You can put in a
pager. I don't want a catheter, please.
You can put in a pager when you want some food, room service.
Those sometimes. Meatloaf.
Yeah. But anyway, to get things done, I mean, you can go to extreme lengths if you want to. I'm just playing. Don't do any of that. Get up off the seat, or your legs are going to lock up, and you're going to try to walk to go to the bathroom, and you're going to fall down, and then you're going to pee. And you don't want to pee on their carpet because your mom was going to be pissed. And your dog's going to be like, I can do it too. And then you're going to have a big problem. Don't do it. Do not do
it. Yeah, don't do that. That would be bad.
So outside of that, they did bring in, like I said, they brought in a new profession, which is obviously while you're running around and you're leveling and you're grinding and you're doing instances, you can have a job. In fact, you can have two jobs.
Okay.
And, you know, and Suji, when I made her, was a skinner and a leather worker, which makes sense because druids can only wear leather, and you kill animals, and you skin them.
Right.
But then she wanted money, so she dropped skinning for flower picking for the alchemists, which does make money. But now, you know, when you jump into an expansion, you kind of have to think to yourself, okay, you're not at the top of your profession anymore, you got more levels to make, so you kind of need to do that.
Okay.
So now, even though I'm a high-skilled leather worker, I have more points to make. So I need leather. But I'm not a skinner anymore. How the fuck am I supposed to get the leather?
Right.
And then I'm like, yeah. It'll take me forever to level it back up to a level where I can go into the expansion and level it. So it's kind of like, you're kind of fucked. Or at least I am. But I have some friends who are skinners who give me stuff. So it's fine. You can find ways around all that stuff. I'm really beginning to find that I don't feel that this game is really a game anymore to me. And I'm not saying that it's real life to me now, but I think I'm beginning to see
that it's work and not.
No, that's not. Well, don't put words in my mouth. Let me finish.
Okay.
It's still a game to me. I find it enjoyable as a game, but I find now that it's not really the game that keeps me there. It is a strong it's a social networking thing. I actually sometimes get into a little bit of a tiff with someone because he would pretty much tell me that the game that I love and enjoy isn't actually a game. And it's just social networking for pedophiles and perverts and, you know, it's not a game. It's just a giant chat room with avatars, which I guess if you really want to look at it, it is. Or it can be perceived this way, which is why you probably don't like it. Because there is...
Here's my thing. I have nothing against social networking. I think social networking is a great thing. I love it to death. I think social networking with avatars makes a huge amount of sense to me. But when I think about a game, I think about, one, I have a story. One, I have things that I have to do in order to push that story along. I have specific things that I have to achieve, and I have a set time to get that accomplished in. Even though there are games that allow you free range over the area like Fable, I still think of that as a game because it does have a determinate end. Like, once I go through the spire, if I want to turn the game off, I'm done. Like, that's the end of it. And even though I can bring people into and out of my game, and I can go into their game and come out, the biggest focus that I see coming out of WoW is on the community piece. Which community in games is great, and I enjoy that. But to me, because I have to manage auctions, and I have to manage my job, and I have quests that I have to run, and then I have quests that I don't have to run.
You don't have to do anything. It's your game.
And
it's
that's the thing. That's not a game, then. If I don't have to do anything, if I can literally turn it on and just let my person sit there and do absolutely nothing, that's not a game.
You don't have to yell.
I'm not yelling. I'm just having a difference of opinion. I don't see that as being a game. Like, if you turn on a Mario game and you let your character sit there and do nothing, he will eventually snore and sleep, and the game will put itself to sleep, and you go nowhere. And that's not a game. Whether I let Mario sit in that little entrance and talk to people is not a game. What you're describing of what you do in WoW and what you enjoy in WoW is basically home. Is that you have avatars, you get into a community space, and you talk. And I'm glad that WoW brings people together like that in a community. But I have a hard time qualifying that as a game. If you're spending the majority of the time not actually interacting with the AI, but interacting with other people.
But you see, you can interact with the NPCs. And if you're into the folklore and you're paying attention, like the BF, mm-hmm. he loves... You know, like, he hates the way that I play because, you know, I'll pick up a quest and I'll just go do it. And he's like, did you not at least read? Like, are you not looking at the dialogue? Because I tune out. I do, because I'm not that tuned into the folklore.
But you don't have to be tuned into the folklore. What I'm saying is, for me, if I'm going to play a game, then I want to play a game. And if you're using the software as really just an excuse to get on vent and talk with your friends... then it's not a game. It's just a bridge for making a social connection. And that's different. And you can't really qualify it as a game. And that's where I really start getting a little upset with people that are all about the WoW.
Well then, what about like a game like Star Wars Galaxies, where I think they used to have like an engine where you could just be an entertaining unit, where you just made things and sold things to people, or you were like an entertainer, and that's all you did. You were not part of the active story. You were a background character.
There's nothing wrong with being a background character if you're interacting with the AI and other people and not just having a conversation. If I want to have a video chat or a voice chat with a bunch of my friends, then I can get on Skype, or I can get on Vent, or I can get on IRC for that matter, and do a couple of things and have a conversation. If I'm using a title as a means of getting people together, and we're not actually adventuring out through the game, if we are just using the software as the gathering place, then it's not a game. I think that it should be called something else. It should be social networking. There's a huge social networking piece of WoW, and if that's what you use it for, then you should say that I'm getting together with my friends, not that I'm playing WoW, because at that moment you're not playing WoW.
But what if you're running, you're doing stuff in the game?
Then you're playing the game. So if you're running, let's say that you're doing an instance and you're running a raid with a bunch of people, then you're playing the game. If you're getting in and you're just checking your auctions, that's not really playing the game.
Right.
It's interacting with the game, but that's not playing the game. If you jump on and all you're doing is letting your character kind of walk around or just sit there while you talk to other people, then you're not playing the game.
Right.
So I take issue with the terminology, because then it sheds the wrong light on gamers, because then you're really not doing anything active other than having a conversation. So just put the right labels on stuff. I think that's the biggest issue that I have with WoW. And not the fact that, you know, you left Moon to go check your auctions.
What?
While we're in Vegas.
You need to let that go.
You know, the thing is, I do, but it's so funny. It's like the exact example of what I don't like about taking community to the wrong level. And this isn't a dig at you. I think that there are a lot of people that get lost in prioritizing.
Right.
And that
I get it.
You know.
Hey, I get it. I'm not saying that I was not, I'm not saying I'm not addicted.
And that's not a dig at you. That's one of the things that I think that I really dislike about games that have a huge, massive social networking component, because it makes it very easy to prioritize that connection socially more than a physical, real social connection. And I think that can be dangerous with the wrong type of personality.
Right.
And that's where I start taking issue. Like seeing episodes of, and I know this is really bad, but seeing episodes on TV of people having interventions done because they're not taking care of their family because they're coming home from work and they're immediately jumping on EverQuest.
Ooh.
And interacting with people across the country that they've never met, when physical people that need their social attention in their homes are being neglected. I that's where I start taking issue. And so when I start seeing that happen with people and they go, oh, but I'm a gamer. But you're not. If you're doing and you're focused just on the social piece, you're not playing the game. You're literally just using it as an escape from reality in a bad way. And that sheds a negative light on the whole community. And that's, I think, what gets me so riled up about, wow, because I see that happen not just with you, but other people. And you've gotten much better about it over the last year.
Well, yeah, because, yeah, I've stepped away from it. I got over the itch, and not to mention I kind of need to finish school. And
yeah, but the itch comes back every once in a while, and when you get called on it, like a lot of other people that I call it on, you get very defensive and very testy.
Well, duh, because I've been doing so well with it, and you're just like, you're playing that game again, and I'm like, you know what?
I haven't said that in the longest time. I've been very good.
I'm like, you know what? I'm in the comforts of my own home. I'm not doing crack. I'm not stripping.
You're doing war crack.
I can't believe you
call the spade a spade. Okay. Now, is your addiction
putting
less?
Putting myself in danger. Whatever.
Well, you know, the thing is, like, you don't have an addictive. Look, see, now who's yelling?
You're
getting defensive. Here's the thing. I'm not calling you out. You don't have an addictive personality.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Times where you get really defensive and you should kind of let things go, but you don't. But that's okay. That's something you can work on. That comes with maturity. That's cool. Uh-huh. But the flip side to that is that there's a lot of people that don't have that switch. There's a lot of people that don't recognize that behavior is a problem and can develop into a massive problem. Okay, do I think that you have an addiction to WoW? Yes. Do I think that it's a terminal addiction? No. Do I have a lot of fun with getting your goat about it? Yes. Why? Because you get really defensive. But you recognize when you're getting a little overboard with it yourself.
Yes.
And you can take the step back.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people that can't.
No.
And that's a problem.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, pretty much all I wanted to say about the expansion is I'm happy it's out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy I'm playing it again. I'm actually taking a step back from the raid thing. Because obviously at the time of the expansion, there's a lot of leveling going on. But even when I get to, because I know I will get to 80... with at least Tsuji, if not my Death Knight, I don't think I'm going to take up the raiding anymore. It's very time consuming, and that does become tedious like a job. And I've realized that I don't want to wake up at 8 in the morning every day to raid. Like, I wouldn't mind doing it in the afternoon, say after I get out of work, if I don't have anything to do. Like, if I can find.
Wait, you have a job?
When I get a job.
Oh, when you get a job. Gotcha.
But still, like, I don't want to stay in all the time. I want to go out.
Well, hallelujah. There's a lot of people that don't.
I know.
They want to do the flip, and that's scary to me.
So, but, I mean, and eventually I think everyone who, whatever the reason, whatever it is that drives people to play this game, outside of the fact, that, yes, it's a social network. Like, I mean, if there's something that they're going to this game for, I hope they find it. Because when you don't know what it is, you sit there looking for it, and that's where the line is drawn between it being a game and then it being something else. And I mean, so when you find that, then you know you're comfortable and you're ready to leave. And I feel that I could possibly be getting to that stage where once I've made it to 80, once I've done what I feel my characters were meant to do, I feel I can walk away. And that will be it. I mean, I might become obsessed with my Xbox, but I mean, I'll be able to walk away from something like this.
I think that there needs to be a better distinction between obsession and enthrallment. Because I think that that's where a lot of people get in trouble in the gaming community when it comes to the community piece, the social networking piece, and then just really the gaming piece. Like, I am enthralled with the online component of video games right now, especially on my Xbox 360, which I really didn't when I first bought my Xbox. And if you read any of my earlier posts, you would see I really didn't think was going to be the case. I didn't think that it was going to be that big of a difference for me playing on the Xbox 360 than it was for me playing on my Xbox with having the online thing added. But it's a huge difference for me. But I think that there's a big difference between obsession and just being enthralled or really enamored with something. And I think that the obsession word gets thrown around way too much, especially when people are talking about gamers that have a passion for a particular brand or a particular franchise or just an individual particular title, that because they go back to it over and over and over again, that it's easily seen as an obsession when it is not in fact an obsession. So for me, I've always kind of categorized obsession as an unhealthy look and attachment to something that impairs your relationship with something else already existing. So when you are so into something that you let other things that were important in your life now become not important in your life or completely ignore them, that's an obsession and that's dangerous. When you become enamored with something, whether because it's new or it's just something that you've been passionate about for a while, where you temporarily lose sight of some things around you but come back to your senses, in essence, that's enthrallment, that's enamored, and that's not necessarily cause for concern. Like, there are people that I know that are obsessed with video games. They have just the most insignificant detail of some game tattooed in multiple places on their bodies.
Oh my god, I would never tattoo WoW anywhere on me.
Well, that's good. I'm really glad to hear that. But there are people that I know that have, like, the symbol that was on a keyblade in the first Kingdom Hearts game, if I remember correctly, that a friend of mine has tattooed on the back of his calf.
Wow.
Okay, there are people that have all kinds of small things, like sayings that were in the Final Fantasy game. Like, well, I know somebody I know somebody that has tattooed on their back shoulder blade, "It's a secret to everybody."
Wow.
That's exactly. That's taking that love and passion just a step too far. And that's when that negative light gets shed on gamers that drives me crazy.
See, now, if I was going to put anything from WoW in or on my body in the name, like, in the way of a tattoo or anything, it would probably be the Horde symbol somewhere. I'm not sure where, because I'm not planning to do it. Or the little symbol that the Draenei's use when they're healing themselves, because it's kind of cool looking. But that's just if. It probably will never happen. The one tattoo I have will probably be the only tattoo I have ever.
Right, but your tattoo has meaning.
Yes, it took me forever to figure it out.
Okay, but for other people, those tattoos also have meaning. And when you start talking with them, like my friend that has the keyblade symbol on the back of his calf, you know, it was a 45-minute explanation of why that symbol and why that exact placement. And I'm just going, it's a video game. It's a game. Keyblades aren't real.
Yeah, but then some people will go, like, say they're obsessed with, or not obsessed, but say they have a strong love for, like, the elven talk in Lord of the Rings. I know people who have gone and have learned the language, this made-up language, and have tattoos of the elven language on their bodies.
Yeah, and they're obsessed. That's gone too far.
Okay.
Okay, it's just like with people that are fans of Star Trek. Okay, I think it's great when people go to cons and they dress up. I think it's great that people will want to go and mimic these characters that have meant so much to them in one way or another. Like, I know people that were very shy, but because they got into Trek and how bold and fearless Klingons were, that they started coming out of their shells because of that. That's cool. Right. That's enamorment. When you take it a step further and you decide to learn Klingon, which is pretty much just Gaelic, right, and then teach your children only that language.
You teach your children Klingon?
Which is basically Gaelic, which is a very difficult language to learn. So I think that anyone that wants to teach, especially young children at a young age, that language, you know, should be commended. But if that's the only thing that you teach them for the longest time, that's kind of unhealthy. You know, yeah. And so I think that there's such a fine line that when you're not careful that you go over, it becomes difficult to come back over that line. When you start losing perspective, that's when I start getting and going on the offensive. Because I think that that's more dangerous than anything else. I mean, I fall in love with games very easy. I become very easily enamored with games. Like right now, the game that I'm playing is Gears of War 2. I'm very much enamored with Gears of War 2. More so than I really was with Gears 1.
Okay.
I never finished Gears 1. I really enjoyed it, but I don't do 3 PSs a lot. I don't do shooters a lot. It's really not the biggest draw for me. I like stuff that I can pick up and throw down, and I have difficulty really finding a lot that don't require using both of the analog sticks, and that's just a difficult motion for me because the surgery that I had on my wrist, it just really makes it very uncomfortable. But that being said, this Gears has been much easier for me to pick up and run with than the previous one. So they've created a casual as well as normal difficulty level. So I've been playing on casual, which is pretty much designed for anyone that really doesn't play shooters.
Right.
Which is true. It's not as challenging as some of the other levels. There's still some challenges. There's still some shots that you have to make and be very accurate with. And I've definitely come up with some times that I've just completely all out died and had to start the mission over again. But those are much fewer and far between than the first game. I'm definitely enamored with it. It's right now the game that I've left in my Xbox so that I can boot it immediately. I will probably install it to my hard drive later on this week for me to play just directly off the hard drive with very little load time, which is what I'm hoping. But at the same time, I know that usually when I play a game, when I become enamored with it, I will just sit down and have marathons. I will sit down and I will play that game 12, 14 hours straight if I can get away with it without a problem. But I always know that about that 14th hour, I'm usually good for the next 2-3 weeks. And I'll want to play something else and I'll want to cycle some other title in. And I will. And it does not become the focus of my life. Like, I have no designs on being a pro player, so I don't want to sit down and try to learn a map inside and out and where the best places are to hide so I can, like, kneecap somebody. Or that's just not how I go about playing games. When I have to put that much thought and effort into it, it now becomes a job.
Right.
When I have to manage, not just pick up and go, when I have to manage what it is that my player character does, and I need time outside of the game to plan that, it's now become a job.
Okay.
Okay. I should say it's become work. It only becomes a job if you get paid for it. But it now becomes work. The whole reason why I play video games is to play, not to work. So when I find that I'm doing work, that's when it loses all of its fun for me and I lose interest. Which is probably part of the reason why I don't finish as many games as a lot of other people do. Because at some point it becomes work. When I have to now start looking up resources on the web because I didn't buy the strategy guide to read through to figure out that there's this level that has a shelf and that has a book that's 4 books in that I had to pull in order to open the secret door that would open up the secret chest that unless I had the book I'd never find in order to get off the level, that's work. If I have to look up a walkthrough online because I can't figure out where I'm supposed to go because it's that well hidden, or I needed to play the second game in the franchise to get the clue that was left on the desk that I just didn't get and thought was just another piece of random paper. You know, those kind of things take the fun out of a game for me and just make me less enthused about finishing it.
Mm-hmm.
I will probably finish Gears 2. There's enough of a story there that I'm interested in it. The game mechanics are casual enough for me to actually be able to pull off the gameplay. And I'm not going to play for 16 hours a day. I'm probably going to play an hour, maybe every other day. In all honesty, if I got a day off, maybe 2 or 3 hours. But I'm still going to play other stuff in between. There are other demos coming out. There are other games coming out. I've got to play a little bit of everything. But the key word for me is I've got to play.
Right.
And I think that WoW is at a point where there aren't a lot of people playing the game. There's a lot of people managing how to go in and focusing on leveling up. The whole fact that there is an industry that can make real money in the real world in order to help beef up your player character tells me that the game has gone to a level where it's no longer a game. And that to me is unhealthy. Yeah. Whether they're trying to crack down on that or not, the fact of the matter is there's a huge real market in the real world where people are paying good money to people in other countries and some people here to level up a player character because they don't have enough time in the day because they have to go work a real job that it's important to them enough, even in this economy, to spend that money to get their player character beefed up so when they come home from work, they can now reap the benefit of that player character being beefed up or having that money that they didn't earn themselves.
Oh, that's no. I'm dangerous. See, that's the difference with some people. I mean, you get some people who will do stuff like that. But I think to myself, if I'm going to pay the fee, or in reality, if mom is going to pay for me to play this, I am going to play this. And people who get their characters power leveled when they come into a game, they don't understand the mechanics of their character, and we know it. The community and the realm, we can tell when you've bought a character. We can tell that you're not moving comfortably. It's as plain as the nose on your face.
And that's cool, but it exists. And so that's you know, another thing that really makes me not fall into the WoW category, because I see the other side of it that is very dangerous, that is very negative, that plays into addictive personality types and what those repercussions can be in the real world, and I think that that's dangerous. I don't know of anybody that will play Gears of War for 24 hours straight and then decide to go out and kill some locusts. If you've never played a Gears game, it's pretty much you versus these creatures that are trying to destroy pretty much what's left of humanity, because there's not a whole lot left.
Okay.
They're really gruesome. They come out of no place, which is also kind of weird. So you definitely have a Resident Evil type feel going on with just enemies that come out of places all of a sudden in areas that you can't really sort of see into all the time. But the story is basically focused from the eyes of Marcus Fenix, who, I gotta give it up, is probably the baddest ass in video games.
Really?
He's badder ass than Master Chief.
Really?
Really. Like, seriously. Even though he's all gnarled up, he's definitely a man's man.
Okay.
And, but has like a little bit of softness, like just enough sadness to be soft in the nice brooding hero kind of way.
Okay.
Which I like. But basically, Gears 2 picks up about 6 months where the first game left off, where we are still fighting locusts trying to save the damn planet and what's left of humanity.
Okay.
The locusts have changed some of their tactics. So even though using the light wave bomb light mass bomb, I should say. We still didn't clear out all the locusts. There's still some left, and now they're doing some weird wackadoodle shit. And they've somehow found a way to sink entire cities.
Wow.
So what's been decided is that the COG forces are going to go below the surface and basically fight them there so they don't have to fight them here because there's not a whole lot of here left.
Mm.
So Marcus's squad, the Delta squad, is sent down. Some shit happens. Not everybody in the Delta squad makes it. Turns out there's this big ass worm that they're using to tunnel under the cities that then sinks them.
Mm-hmm.
You end up in the worm and you gotta
like
get
in
out.
It?
Yeah, like in it, and you gotta get out of it.
Ew.
So that was the first place I died because you basically had to cut the arteries to its heart in mm-hmm. order to kill it. So the first time I had the two arteries and I chopped them, and I thought I was done. So I was waiting for a door to open because I kind of forgot that I was in a worm. So I drowned in worm blood because I didn't leave the room because I couldn't find the membrane to cut it.
Ooh.
It's gruesome. It's like ridiculously, like God of War has nothing on how bloody and brutal this game is, which is awesome. Like, you can, when you've downed a locust, so let's say that I've shot him a couple times in the arm and then I shoot him in the leg, so then he starts crawling because he's trying to get to his buddies to get to the little locust hold so they can retreat. I can mm-hmm. walk up to him and while he's crawling, flip him over, and then stomp his face into the ground and explode it with my
That's boots. Cool.
It's damn cute. It's like, you motherfucker, take that, ha-ha! And you
no, wait, are you wearing, like, you know, army boots?
Yes,
like,
yes, like, you're in full gear, full armor protection, with the exception of your helmet. There's only one guy in your unit that wears his helmet, and that's Carmine. And anybody that's played a Gears game is familiar with that name. It is not the Carmine from the first game, because if you played the first game, you know that Carmine died. It's one of his brothers, so he's got three other brothers. Carmine's and the Benjamins in the unit. But what I enjoy about this game is that it has been very easy for me to pick up and run with. The segues in between chapters are very simple. It basically pops up on as text on the screen, much like if you were watching a documentary and they put up a middle third on the screen to let you know that you're transitioning to a new place. In the same state. So it's very seamless on how you move for the most part from chapter to chapter within a section, which
right.
is really great because you have no slowdown on the action. There are definitely things about the game that I would like to see improved. One of which is camera control, which I know we always complain about camera control. I don't know that there's ever any game that's been released that has the absolute perfect camera, but when the camera contributes to your dying, that's a problem.
Yes.
And so there are a couple of areas where there are razor hailstorms, which basically is like pretty much glass raining down from the sky, which if you get hit with too much of it, you die. Mm-hmm. And so you have to run between one place and another that has cover and jump into rail cars or jump into a building. And I died several times because I could not get my camera to stay at the angle that was needed directly behind my character to get them to jump up into the rail car. They kept diving to the side and then dying. And I really don't enjoy when the camera contributes to death. I don't mind when I fuck up myself and I contribute to my dying, and I usually slap myself and go, "You dummy. Okay, let's get this right this time." But when the camera causes my death, that makes me want to fling my Xbox out the window or whatever system that I'm on at the time. So that's really something I'd like to see improved. One thing that they added in the new Gears game is an additional co-op game that you mm-hmm. can play. So they've typically had your capture the flag player group versus player group type game. Then you have a pair-up mission where you go in and you pretty much play different levels, and what I love about that is in this game, when you do play that type of co-op, I can play at my skill level, and the person that I'm playing with can play at theirs, and there's no disparity between if you pick a higher difficulty, now I have to play at that higher difficulty, whether I have the capability to or not. So if I want to play it casual and you want to play at normal or hardcore, you can, and I will only get enemies thrust at me that I can handle, and you will get enemies thrust at you that you can handle based
on. Cool.
And that does it ad hoc, which is great, because now I don't have to worry about you having to dumb down in order to play with me, because you won't get as much enjoyment out of it or challenge, and I won't just get killed all the time because you're insane and play it at hardcore, and I don't have the skill set to play it
there. I play hardcore.
So that's really an interesting and I think great addition to the game. Another thing that adds to its replay value and the social value, because you are playing it online. As far as a us versus them game, which I definitely put Gears in that category, so the same as most of your strategy, especially wartime strategy games, where it's good guys versus the invaders, or good guys versus the bad guys, or good guys versus
the counter-terrorists.
Exactly. I definitely like the story more than games that I've played in this genre before.
Okay.
It's kind of deep. Like, there's one guy that is your AI, and I definitely love how they use AI in this game, but it's some of the smartest fighting AI that I've seen. There's still some times where it runs in a circle and you just want to smack it, but other than that, it's pretty cool, so I'll get back to that. But there's a character that you're running around with from the first game named Dom, who's looking for his wife, and really has a few touching moments. I take my hat off to the Epic team, where he's just conflicted and is really hoping to find this woman. And, you know, I don't want to give it away, but there's definitely a very tearful
moment.
Reunion moment. And, you know, I take my hat off to really putting that kind of element in a game like this. Because in a game where literally you are killing and blowing shit up. Like, when you come out of the worm, you're
right,
covered in head to toe in blood, and one of the characters that you rescued inside the worm is, like, coughing up blood, and he's like, dude, this shit ain't right. I'm coughing up blood, and it's not even mine. And then continues to cough up blood, and everybody's red, and they're like, all right, we're going back to base. And then a vehicle gets dropped, and they're like, hey, yo, come in. We're going back to base. And like, no, actually, we got another mission for you. And they're like, fuck that. I was like, yeah, fuck that. I actually, you know, was getting involved with, in essence, a third-person shooter game. And that doesn't happen, especially for me, very often. So I definitely take my hat off to Cliffy B and the Epic team at Microsoft Game Studios, because they've made a very, very solid game. I love that the language and the visuals are very adult, because I'm an adult. When
right,
fucked up shit happens to me, I call it out as being fucked up shit. And so when fucked up shit happens in the game, they call it out as being fucked up shit.
Good.
Which is the reason why I got a mature rating. Now, you can turn that stuff off. So if you wanted to, which I still don't know why you would, let somebody who maybe should not see all of that blood and gore and hear all that language play this game, you can actually go into the options and turn that filter on. And so excess blood gets turned into tracks of sparkles and will disappear, and the naughty language gets filtered out of the game. I have not turned that on to actually see what it looks like, because I don't need to. I'm a grown-ass woman.
Right.
But I definitely love the mechanics. I would have to give Gears, in all honesty, as far as third persons that I've played, really a 4.5 out of 5. And the only reason why it's not a straight up 5, and honestly, I would have to give it 4.75 stars. So let's call it 4.75.
Okay.
The camera contributing to my death is a huge, huge problem for me. In any game that I play, especially platformers, if the camera causes me to miss jumps that I know I've got timed, I've put the person in the exact right spot that they're supposed to be, that's a big problem for me. Because there's no reason that should have gotten through testing. Because there's no way that any game tester played the game so perfectly that never contributed to a problem for them.
Right.
And it's something that can be fixed, especially with the patch. And since we're talking about games that have co-op and online components, there's no reason why it should not be patched. So as soon as that gets fixed or addressed, I'm sure I'll be able to give Gears the 5 out of 5 that it deserves. Because it is solid. The visuals are fantastic. The music is perfect. The soundtrack is, I mean, it's just, for the story that they're telling, great. The voice acting is very good. There are a couple moments where the voices are a little bit faster than the mouths moving, but again, no points off for that because that's not an exact science yet, and I understand that. But I want to see more games like this. I want to see more games that focus on the storytelling and then the characters having the gravity to back up that story. Even though this is a gory fucking game, and it is. I mean, there are moments where, like, your gun has a chainsaw attachment, so you can melee and have chainsaw wars with the enemy AI. Right. And if you win, you just start hacking off limbs and shit. I mean, and you just watch flesh tear apart and blood gush everywhere.
Okay. I do plan to have dinner after this, you know.
Okay, it's gory. But the fact, even though it's all that gory, that there are still moments where it pokes fun at itself.
Right.
That it pokes fun at the topic that it's on, which is pretty much just kill everything in sight. That it does it with the kind of sense of humor. Like, I imagine that there's a character that's in the game, and I just can totally see in my mind that he's based off of Slim Pickens' character in Doctor Strangelove. Like, that's the way he comes off. Just a crazy gun nut. It's ridiculous, and I laugh at those things, and I get those in jokes. So I absolutely love Gears of War 2. If you haven't played the first Gears, definitely play it before you play this one, just so you can have the continuation of the story and get the whole picture. But it is just great, and you do eventually get to ride a Brumach. I haven't gotten there yet, but I've been assured.
I have no idea what that is, but...
So a Brumach is basically... Within the Locust enemies, there's all different kinds. Just like with any survival horror game that you play, there's always the entry-level biped-type enemy, and then there's the kind of Thunderdome enemy where there's a smarter being riding the dumber being and guiding them around because the dumber being is taller and bigger and badder. Brumachs are basically like these ridiculously large, almost Borged-out Locusts, because they have gun turrets and missile turrets and laser beams all built into them in essence. And from the first game, all you were ever able to do was fight them. And they were usually being ridden by the Locust. When the trailer dropped for Gears of War 2, they kind of hinted at the fact, and they had Marcus Fenix pretty much going, "Hey, if they can drive them, so can we." And then the trailer ended, and it was like, "Oh my god, we're gonna Brumachs!" Yeah, you are. You gotta fight them too, but you are gonna actually be able to ride one. I haven't gotten to that level yet, but I'm looking forward to it because I'm just gonna fuck shit up with those things. I mean, you do engage in the game and you're just like, they're not coming into my home and killing my friends and family. I've lost too many people. I've collected too many cogs. This fucking sucks. And you want to kill all the locusts and the locust queen. You just want to rip them apart. Because I do. I want to rip them apart in the game.
Mm.
So I definitely recommend Gears of War 2. I will be playing the Tomb Raider demo. I'm probably talking about that on my website sometime this week, so look for that. Because my faith was restored with the last Tomb Raider game, and I'm hoping that they're just going to build off of that. The demo's going to be a quick indicator, so we'll see how that goes.
And you haven't heard the last from me. I just got a game through our lovely snail mail system. And I'll be taking a slight deviation off of the Final Fantasy Chocobo thing.
Oh, I love Chocobos.
So I'll be rehashing that with this new Wii game. Yes, I'll be taking the dust off of my Wii.
My Wii needs to be dusted desperately. And it also hasn't been turned on in a while, so the light's red.
Ooh.
In all honesty, really, the focus for me, for my gaming stuff, has been on my Xbox 360 and been PlayStation 3.
If I had a PlayStation 3, it would be there too.
Little Big Planet has my attention, and I'm just waiting for Mirror's Edge to come in.
Yep, stop. Don't want to hear it.
You can play Mirror's Edge on the Xbox.
Yeah, but Little Big Planet.
Yeah, you can't play that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that's the end of my rant, NHBO. Gears of War 2 is awesome. Somebody from Microsoft Game Studios, hear what I say. Do me just one small little favor. In the next Gears, because I know you're already working on 3, could we please add a badass female to the Delta Squad?
Just one.
That's not Control. That doesn't count. I want a cog, a Gears, badass bitch. And I'll even give it, she doesn't even have to be black, just give me a bitch.
Just give me a bitch.
Just give me a bitch. That's all I'm asking for.
Okay.
And then I'll give you 10 out of 5.
Ooh.
Which I technically shouldn't be able to give you, but I totally will.
Ooh. All right. Are you done now?
Almost. You got to keep hitting us up on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address bounces you to the long one. You can check out any articles that we've written within the week. You can comment on them thusly. If you just want to ask us a question, you can use our hit us up link and do it that way. If you're not listening to our podcast on iTunes, you can check iTunes first since we happen to be there. You can put us into any RSS reader. You can plug us into any podcast search engine, period. My preference is Podcast Pickle. I know you guys are getting bored of hearing me say that, but I like it. I like pickle. Just deal with it. If you're not one of the pickle. If you're a cool kid, however, you're probably listening to us on Monday nights on the All Games Network.
That's right. Our show airs Monday evenings on the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com, roughly at about 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific time-ish. Some of the other great shows on the network, like Super Happy Fun Time Show, Ultimate
DPL,
Quest,
Dead Pixel Live.
You know, they run a little bit long, so they bump us back, and sometimes we go off at like the 9:30, 6:30-ish mark. But for the most part, you can catch us there those Monday nights. And like Panda said, you can find us by doing a search in the iTunes podcast directory or looking through various podcast search engines.
You can't miss us. If you're looking for us, you can't miss us. And if you're on Facebook, we have a group.
That's right. And that's something that we've got to start mentioning. Panda has actually started an ESH Facebook group.
Yes, I have.
We tried to check it.
Try looking for it.
Yep.
Obviously, you'll know us from the reality names, not our, you know, actual names. I'm the creator and admin. I'm going to be putting up some random pictures, you know, not of me, but, you know, random stuff that I think you guys might like. I might have some discussions going on. Not that anyone's really been doing those, but I'll have them. So if you want to, you can make your own.
It's going to be a part of our home away from home, a way to kind of do some of the social things that I just don't have time to actually build into the damn site right now.
So please,
it's hard
check us out. Come look
coder.
For us. We are there.
I'm the lone coder, and I can't do everything.
Yes.
So visit us on our Facebook page. How do they find us on Facebook? What do they look for?
You go and you look for groups, and you put in Electric Sisterhood. It is that easy.
You can't miss us.
Nope.
So with that, I guess I'm going to have to call this podcast toast.
Yeah, it's kind of toasty.
What are you going to do with your toast?
I'm actually going to turn my toast into fries with cheese and bacon and ranch dressing on the side because I'm going to Beer Works tonight. Woo-hoo! Gonna get lit up like a Christmas tree.
Because you're over 21 and legally you can do that.
Well, duh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just had to put that in there.
Okay.
Because we don't want the youngins drinking it. Unless they're okay.
They can still go to Beer Works and get the fries, the cheese, and the bacon.
Yes.
They just can't get lit up unless they're wearing a shirt that has, like, lights in it. Or a tie. One of those funky ties.
Yeah. I think we should just move on from the getting lit up piece.
Fine. What are you going to do with your toast?
I'm actually just going to put some peanut butter on it and eat it. Because I'm
But won't it get
hungry.
Stuck to the roof of your mouth? And then we got that list. I love this, yeah.
I know, but I like doing that because then I get to lick the inside of the roof.
Ew.
I got mad tongue skills. And
okay.
I just can't believe I said that.
Hey,
okay.
Hey.
So with that, I'm Ninja Sister.
Oh, please. Please. All games gods. Please take that clip. It's redemption time, motherfucker.
I'm Ninja System.
And I'm Pandalicious.
We are going to leave now.
She said it, not me.